Welcome again to Cottage Talk. I'm Russ Goldman, a co-host, and with me today is David Hawley. This episode, we will be previewing the upcoming match for Fulham against Huddersfield Town. Before that, we will be discussing the latest in Fulham news and speculation. But before we do anything, I have to welcome back my Cottage Talk co-host, David, to the show. David, how are you feeling, my friend?
Oh, I felt better, but thanks for dragging me out of bed and my malaise that I've been in all week. You know, it's nice to be doing something different for even 30 minutes, take my mind off stuff, I guess. So thanks a great deal, mate.
No, no problem, David. Listen, you know, I thought it'd be good for you to get, you know, to get out and about a little bit and talk some form. You know, it might irritate you a little bit, but I thought at least, you know, take your mind off of your recovery for like 30, 45 minutes. We'll see how things go. We won't be too long, but again, thought it'd be a great opportunity to talk about Fulham, and we'll see how things go, my friend.
Yep. Let's see how it goes. You might even get me ranting.
I might get a David rant. That would be great. Okay. Well, listen, let's start from the beginning. Let's go for the latest Fulham news and speculation. And let's start to talk about a couple of unfortunate injuries. Both Marcus Bettinelli and Matt Smith came off injured at the end of the first half of the last match. And Kidd actually had an update that you could actually see on the Fulham website, and also it was in his presser that Matt Smith is potentially going to be out 4 to 6 weeks, and it sounds like Marcus Bettinelli is going to be out much longer than that, both dealing with knee ligament injuries. David, what are your thoughts about the latest injuries for these two Fulham players?
It's terrible news for both of them. I mean, knee ligaments, you know, can be really awful injuries, worse than a broken leg sometimes. You know, Marcus just signed a new contract, got back in the team. Feel really bad for him and Matt as well. And in some ways, you could argue that the Matt Smith injury is more crucial because we have a backup goalkeeper who can do hopefully what Marcus does. But we don't have anyone else like Matt Smith to offer what he does, whether it's as plan A or plan B or plan C. So, you know, that one is more crucial. So I suppose in a way, it's good that Matt Smith hopefully will be back sooner. Although I don't wish anyone being out injured, of course, because it's, you know, I'm speaking from personal experience. I know what it's like to be unable to do the things you like because you're not well, right, or because you're injured. So, you know, my heart goes out to both these guys and I wish them a speedy recovery.
I wish them both an extremely speedy recovery. You know, again, it was unfortunate when, you know, if you get a chance to watch back the injury, it's terrible to watch. And Marcus Bettinelli just signed a brand new deal. David, and then of course this happens to him, and listen, I wish the best, and also Matt Smith, because I think Matt Smith can be a vital contributor to Fulham this season. And listen, if it's only 4 to 6 weeks, you know, it's not as bad, but again, you bring up a good point. You know, whether you see him as your plan A or plan B, it's a loss. You know we can't really play direct like we have before. If you want to play that way, you know, you don't have that threat, that big threat up front, that's gone for right now. And this is going to force Kit to potentially play things a little bit differently and also open up opportunities. And David, I spoke to Emilio about this. A player that could potentially really step up is someone like Moussa Dembele. What are your thoughts about him playing that striker role in the place of Matt Smith? Or do you think maybe Colley will get his opportunity there?
Well, both of these players are different players to Matt Smith, and the game plan is very different, obviously. Moussa relies, although he's quite a big chap, he relies much more on balls to feet and balls through the channels to run into, I think, really. Whereas Corley's more of a back-to-goal player. But, you know, Corley's not really been finding the net at the moment, and I mean, nor has Moussa for that point. But I think Moussa has the latent potential, perhaps, to be the better goal scorer out of the two. So I think we're going to see, you know, we are going to see opportunities for both of them, obviously, because you would imagine one of them would start and one of them would be the replacement from the bench if we need to shake things up.
Right, right. I almost called you Mike Gregg, and I don't know why I have Mike Gregg on the frame, but Mike Gregg's actually at the under-21 match. I'll be checking a little bit later for some updates from Mike. But I think the reason why I had Mike on the brain is because him and I were talking about in a show that we did yesterday, David. I want your thoughts on this. You and I were talking off air that we don't have that direct threat anymore. I agree with you. But again, could this force Kit's hand that he now has to play a different way? He has to play in a more fluid motion, you know, again, because you're not going to have that threat to just get the ball up to that big striker. You're going to have to work up the pitch. Could this possibly be a good thing for Fulham that it's going to force them to play differently?
I mean, you know, we could see a complete change of system. We could see, for example, an extra midfielder and you know, a genuine 4-5-1 kind of situation with actually, you know, Ross McCormack as the sole striker. Or we could just literally stay with the 4-4-2, replacing Matt Smith with, you know, one of the guys we've talked about. So, you know, if we was to go to 4-5-1, for example, it would mean maybe bringing in someone like Kaká. Perhaps Tom Cairney moving to the hole behind the striker as an example. Yep. Or, I mean, if he were fit, and obviously he's not fit this week, even a way for Scott Parker to get back in the team. Again, would mean that someone like, you know, there would be a rearrange in midfield, which again would, I suppose, ultimately result in someone like Tom Cairney playing perhaps more centrally and more forward. But obviously that's not going to happen this week because Scott Parker's not fit yet. But I would have thought, kit being kit, we'll probably see a more light-for-light swap and a 4-4-2 kind of situation, although it's been a bit like a 4-5-1 anyway with McCormack dropping deep. So I think we're going to just see one of those two guys as a straight swap for Matt Smith.
You're probably right, you know, but it's funny because when I was talking to Mike, you know, again, this could force a change formation. This is just my thought on it, because again, I think you want to get your best players on the pitch at the same time and also in the best possible position, David. And if you watch the last match, Tommy was not as effective in the first half as he was in the second half, where he became more central. And Mike Gregg really believes that he is better in a three-man central midfield. So, you know, I'm thinking maybe, just maybe, Kit might surprises, change things up. Like you said, maybe bring Kaká on, maybe have McCormack a lone striker. I wouldn't be against that. But again, I'm thinking, you know, maybe this will force his hand to change things up. But you could be right to state a form and just go right back to a 4-4-2, or like you mentioned, kind of like a 4-4-1-1, you know, with McCormack behind the main striker, you know, who could be Dembele, it could be Woodrow. But I just think that it has to change things because you can't play that direct anymore, David.
No, I mean, at the moment, I don't have a lot of faith in Kit to do anything too exciting. I'm not sure if he's I'm not sure if he's actually got the nous to pull something out of the hat, and something which will surprise everybody, you know, and the opposition and catch them out. I mean, I'd love to be proved wrong, obviously, but
sure,
doesn't happen very often, as you know, Russ, obviously. But you know, I don't have much faith in Kit to do something drastic. I think he will go for something fairly predictable.
I have missed you, my friend. I have seriously missed you. I'm being completely honest. It's so great to talk to you about Fulham again, and I'm just glad that you're starting that road to recovery. But let's move on. I did talk to Amelia about this last night. We talked about the signing of Tim Ream. Now, again, this was in the works for a little bit, and he is a center back / left back. He's played both. He has played a good amount of left back for Bolton, but we need help at center back. And as I mentioned on the show with Emilio, I actually called into a football show here in America that two hosts that know Tim Ream a great deal. They think we're getting a quality player. I'm paraphrasing a little bit of exactly what they said, but I got the indication that they think this is a good move for Fulham, considering that one of the hosts thought that Tim Ream's a better option as your starting U.S. men's national team center back than John Brooks, who is their current one of their starting center backs. So that's high praise. And so I think we're getting a quality player, David. Where do you see his role being with Fulham? Do you see it as left back? Do you see it as center back, or possibly both?
For me, I'm hoping he's going to be Carlos Bocanegra Mark II, really, because I think he did a pretty good job at both center back and at left back. Although he was more predominantly a center back, I think he put in sterling effort at left back, Carlos Bocanegra, although he tended to be a more defensive left back than an attacking one. We need some good defending in that position at the moment, because Kai Voser is so weak and seems to get passed too easily. So I think, you know, back to the basics, get the defense to defend and try and get the midfield and everyone else to attack. So if ultimately he ends up at left back, or in the meantime while Garbett is out injured still, so be it. But obviously you would imagine once Garbett is fit and hopefully gets back to full fitness without any issues, Garbett's going to be first choice left back. So we'll see Ream at left centre back, I would imagine. So I'm excited to see that. I mean, the only disappointment was we signed him and then we find out he hasn't played football for 15 years and he's he needs a bit of fitness training. I mean, you know, it's almost makes you want to pull your hair out, doesn't it? But I'm quite optimistic about this. As I say, if he comes out to be anything like Carlos Bocanegra, who was a similar kind of player in those situations, I think I'd be very happy with that.
Well, listen, what both hosts told me, and I told Emilio this last night, is that he's the type of player that can take the ball from the back and move it up the pitch. He's good on the ball. And that's one of the things that you need to know. That's really his main strength, is that he is really good on the ball. So he will get that ball off from the back. So that's a good thing, David. And you know what? Right now, you know, I could see him at left back. I could see him at center back. I could see him doing a little bit of both. But I'm glad that you brought up the fact that Kit already said in his presser that he's probably not going to feature tomorrow at all because he's dealing with and I saw the interview with him on the Fulham website. Tim Ream's been dealing with a dead leg issue, and hopefully he will be good to go soon. Kit mentioned possibly the cup match, and then obviously next Saturday would be more advantageous. But you know, again, that he's available. But you know, I think he's a player that's going to do a job, David. And it's always good to get good players. And the one thing that I keep going back to is that another player that was the player of the season for his team. 2 years in a row, Tim Ream was their player of the season. That's high praise. So I think we're getting a good player, my friend.
Well, let's hope so. It doesn't say much necessarily for Bolton, though, because they've been a bit in the doldrums the last few years. But still, it sounds like a positive move. And as I say, if he's like most of the Americans we've had, Eddie Johnson accepted, I think, probably. We've done pretty well with American players at Craven Cottage. So yeah, I'm optimistic and I look forward to seeing him playing.
Yeah, so do I. And I don't expect it to be tomorrow, David, but hopefully it's going to be very soon. All right, let's move on. And we're going to talk about something that I know that you really don't want to talk about. I really don't want to talk about that much anymore, but we really need to talk about. And that's the ongoing speculation with 22-year-old center back Lewis Dunk from Brighton Hove Albion, and this has been going on forever, David. What are your thoughts on this ongoing saga? Do you see an end in sight?
I'm absolutely sick to the back teeth of it. I think even if we did sign him, I'm going to hate him because it's just gone on so long now. I had a text from someone who was connected to the club saying that we had a fee agreed with him on the 9th of June to sign him, and it was just down to personal terms. If that, you know, so he's been on the radar for 2 months, 3 months almost. What the hell are they doing? How long does it take? I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. It's destabilizing for us. It's destabilizing for the player. It's destabilizing for Brighton. It's not doing anyone any favors. I mean, he's one of their star players and he's been on the bench because I assume his head's not in the right place. You know, obviously he's a talented young man because, you know, there's a lot of praise about him, but you know, we're a team that needed to enhance our defence. That was our number one thing. And yet now we're already in the season and we're not far from transfer window. And we've still, you know, we've done it. You know, we've just done it now. We've signed one central defender now. And the one that we've been after all summer. I mean, what the hell are they playing at? I mean, I know we don't know what's going on there. But it smacks of incompetence. They're just... The negotiation process is rubbish. You know, you go in there, you make an offer, you obviously know where you want to go with it. Either the offer is rejected or not, or you go back with another offer. How long does it take to do these things? I mean, this has got to be the most protracted process there's ever been. And I'm just sick to the back teeth of hearing about it. And like, you know, it was like the Tim Ream thing. Every day on Twitter, people posting... I hear that Tim Ream will be completed today, you know, and you could have retweeted the same thing for about 3 weeks, literally, you know, it's just, you know, and then they're going to say, oh, we've agreed a fee with Lewis Dunk, he's having a medical, and then it'll be another 6 weeks before we ever see him. So I don't know what's going on, but it just, it pees me off anyway.
No, I hear you, David. And listen, the only thing I will do on this subject is just try to put it into perspective a little bit. I hear what you're saying. I'm frustrated on it as well. But it does take two to make a deal. And it sounds like to me, if Fulham are hell-bent on getting this player, well, Brighton might not be wanting to giving him up too easily. And again, it's a negotiation. So it does take a while. So that might be what's going on here. But then, of course, you then go to the question, David, when do you cut bait and when do you move on to someone else if you can't get the player? So again, that's what's going on. That's what's frustrating. It's like either make it done or move on to another target. I guess that's where I'm at on it. You know, get it over the line. If you can't get it over the line, then I think you have to decide to move on. But again, we only have, you know, again, what's it like 10 more days, you know, to the window closes now. So they really need to up their game. If they cannot get this done, they need to find another target and get it done soon. But it has been frustrating. I feel your frustration, David. My only thing on this is that when it's a negotiation, there are two sides, and you have to make the other side want to sell, and you've got to make it as advantageous as possible. So I don't put this all on Fulham. I also put it on Brighton.
I don't know. It's difficult, but I think I would have been a lot more cut and thrust, and I would have a long time ago said, right, this is our final offer, take it or leave it. And if they're not going to play ball, then move on to someone else, because it's not like he was the only target. There's been plenty of other targets. So otherwise, we come into a situation where Brighton have us by the short and curlies, as they say, and to a point where almost, you know, they can extract out of us what they want, because we're getting more and more desperate as time runs out. So.
Right.
I'm very uncomfortable with it.
No, I hear you, David, and I'm not disagreeing with you being uncomfortable, Bob, because I think you speak for many Fulham supporters that are just very, you know, I don't know, disappointed that nothing's been resolved yet. You know, again, one way or another, you know, either make a deal or move on. But again, it's these negotiations can go down to the last minute, and like you mentioned, it's been going on for the majority of the summer. So you would like some kind of resolvement on it, and we just haven't had it. If that's a word, is resolvement a word, or did I just invent a word, David?
You invented it, but I don't. I'm not.
I think I did.
I'm not bothered. I was, you know, I'm not even. I'm still too much in a malaise. I wasn't even going to mention Rotherham next Saturday or anything.
Okay,
you know?
Okay. Let's not go there. And oh, by the way, I just butchered the English language, so I apologize to everyone that's listening. All right, let's move on.
That's the same for all Americans. Nothing different there.
Oh, thank you very much, there, David. Thank you for me being a typical American. Whatever. All right. Let's move on. And I found this news I'm about to share with you very interesting from Kits Presser, and I would say a little bit disturbing, because this is a player that I want to see at Fulham long term, but I think it's also complicated. And during the presser, Kit was asked about Emerson Hyman and was asked about him turning down a deal and would it be able for him to convince him to stay? And I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but basically Kit said it was going to be difficult to make it happen, to make him stay, because apparently possibly his head's been turned, or he's looking for other things. Again, I'm paraphrasing. I don't know exactly how Kip put it, but he made it perfectly clear that it's going to be difficult to hold on to Emerson Hyman. And I got to be honest with you, I'm very disappointed by this, not because he's an American player, but because I think he's a talent in central midfield for the future. And I wanted Fulham to build around him, be one of the building blocks for the future. But here's the question, David. What are your thoughts about this? And, you know, do you blame the club? Do you blame Hyman? Is a little bit of both? Is it just a situation where, you know, no one wins?
I mean, you know, I suppose his head was turned in one way, that he suddenly got a taste of first team football, and for a little bit he was regular. Then he got that taken away from him, so maybe he found that difficult. But also he's had, you know, international recognition as well. And obviously someone else has had his head turned, and, you know, maybe all we can hope for is that Tim Ream can do something. Maybe he can talk some sense into him as a fellow American. You never know. Maybe he will persuade him that the grass isn't greener elsewhere, and that perhaps he can just hold on, because at the moment, you're right, I think he's all but lost, to be honest with you, which is a big shame.
Yeah, it really is, David. It's trending that way. And you know, I was DMing with our college soccer co-host Mike Gregg, and we're both on the same wavelength that the fact that kid was this open saying that it's going to be difficult to hold on to, you know, again, doesn't make you feel like they're going to be able to. And that's unfortunate because I really wanted Emerson Hyman to be part of Fulham's future. But, you know, again, David, it also goes to the point of this. Do you want a player that doesn't want to be at Fulham Football Club? Or do you, you know, does it make sense to hold on to a player that doesn't want to be with us? If he doesn't want to be here, you know, isn't it better for the club that he moves on?
No, you're right. I mean, if he doesn't want to be here and we can get a good fee for him, then perhaps it's best that for all parties they move on, because you know, we've seen it with other players and we want people who are committed to the club. But, you know, if there's any way we can try and turn things around, say maybe Tim Ream's influence, maybe something else. But as it stands at the moment, Hyman is a long way from getting in the team because we've got Scott Parker to get back somehow, maybe. Tunnicliffe is sniffing around as well, and we've got our Finnish friend as well. So there are lots of options there in central midfield.
Yeah.
So it's going to be hard for him. And I mean, I see he's playing for the under 21s tonight. So obviously he's not going to be in the squad for tomorrow's game at all. So right. You know, maybe it's a fait accompli already.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I hear you, David. All right. Let's start our preview now. You know, we're going to do about 10, 15 minutes just talking about this Huddersfield Town match. And David, I'm just going to tell you a little bit about them just to refresh your memory from last year. Of course, they probably have some new faces. And I'm just going to start here because, again, this is very interesting because I do go to whoscored.com a great deal to get breakdowns and previews of matches. And I found this one interesting because they have a positional report of Huddersfield Town from their last match. And it just shows where they went to attack. And on the left-hand side, David, they went down 27% of the time. In the middle, 17%. But they went on the right-hand side 56% of the time. And that is a little bit troubling because, as we talked about, Kai Voser was on your right-hand side. He had a tough match last match. And that's just something to look for, that Huddersfield Town really, on their attacks, favored the right-hand side. And just keep that in mind when we talk about this team. And players to look out for, again, whoscored.com had their top performers as central midfielder Jacob Butterfield, another central midfielder Jonathan Hogg. Again, these are the players that really just control the play for Huddersfield Town. And up front, a player that you might remember, I remember from last season that was very dangerous, was Naki Wells. He's a player that you need to look out for in this match. You know, he does have a decent partner as well. I remember from the away match was Ishmael Miller. He was very dangerous. So the two of them up front are players to look out for. And what's interesting, again, whoscored.com has the formation. You'll like this, David. Their potential formation against Fulham as a 3-5-2, three in the back. So I find that very interesting. So what do you make of what I just shared with you from Huddersfield Town?
For me, Huddersfield don't have people that stand out. There's no single danger man there. I think Huddersfield's strength is more that they play together as a team much better than having the reliance on, you know, one or two key individuals. I think they're kind of a compact team, a hard-working team, and they are the epitome of what you need to do to get by. But whether they're better than a team that can get by, I'm not sure, because I have my doubts whether they would be challenging high up the table at the end of the season. I think there would be a lower half team nevertheless. I think they can do enough to stay in the league, but I'm not sure whether they can do more than that. I think they're a team that will get by. They'll be fairly strong at home, fairly sort of vociferous crowd, difficult place to go. And then just looking to pick up as many points away from home as they can. So for me, it's a matter of collectively watching them rather than one or two key individuals.
Right. And what's interesting, David, I was reading a report that was actually on collegesconfidential.com with a fan for Huddersfield Town, again, was chiming in a little bit and sharing his thoughts on his team this year. And he said that Chris Powell has set them up, especially on the road, to beat you on the counter. So again, they're going to be probably sitting back. So Fulham will probably have the opportunity to attack this team, which will be interesting. because we saw Brighton come at Fulham, we've seen Hull City come at Fulham, and also Cardiff. What will happen when Fulham have most of the play? They will probably be the team most likely to attack. So it should be an interesting game here, Dave. But again, this is a team that Fulham should beat. I'm sorry. They should beat this team at home, Dave. There really is no excuse. Like you said, I think this is a team that's going to be in the back of the pack in the championship this season. And again, they only have 2 points. So this isn't a team that, again, is playing some great football. It's a winnable match. It's a match, really, that Fulham should win, David.
Certainly. I mean, we beat them last year, both games. So that's a benchmark. So, you know, if we don't beat them both games this season, we've already done worse.
Yes.
You know, and this is a pressure match for Kit, because, you know, where we are now, if we were to lose tomorrow, I think Kit's going to start getting some serious shout outs for his head already. And I mean, it's very early in the season, but, you know, people talked about last season and 1 point after 7 games. Well, you know, we'll be halfway to that, you know, if that happens tomorrow. So it's really a game we need to win, even if just to paper over the cracks until we see a few new faces perhaps come in, because there is obviously talk of another player is close to signing, apparently, whether that's Dunk or someone else that we don't know about. So certainly we need all 3 points tomorrow, but I don't think it would be as easy as that, because we've been very static and slow moving. And if they just sit back and put lots of people behind the ball, whether we have the penetration is going to be my big doubt. And we'll be reliant on people like Kearney taking long range shots to try and perhaps break through.
No, it's an interesting take there, David, because again, the movement has to be quicker. And that's something that I was saying to Mike in the show that we did together, that they need to be moving the ball much faster. The pace needs to be there. Everyone needs to be moving, and it's way too static. I'm glad that you said that, because it's exactly what it is. I'm hoping that if he does play Colley or Musa, that just changes things up a little bit and makes them a little bit more dynamic and maybe helps the movement, because there isn't enough movement. I agree with you on that. When Fulham are at their most dangerous, it seems like the movement is good, and it also seems that Kearney's more central. So, you know, again, I hope Kit is looking at this, because when Kearney goes in a little bit more, Fulham seem to be a little bit more dangerous. So it'll be interesting to see what he does tomorrow. But David, I have an interesting question for you. And again, it does go along with our preview. Someone actually emailed this to me. He actually entitled it Cottage Talk Controversy Roundtable Question, but it goes with our preview. So I thought I would throw this at you. It's from Tyler Holst. Because Russ, I'm interested what the co-host would say about giving the captain's band to Jamie O'Hara for the Huddersfield game this weekend in the wake of the poor performances by Ross McCormack this season. David, what are your thoughts about that question from Tyler?
I wouldn't be against O'Hara having the captain's armband at present from what I've seen, but I think it would cause a massive hissy fit by McCormack, and he's already been a bit off for me. He'll probably go into a massive sulk and refuse to play. So it's terms politically, it's a very difficult situation, but I think O'Hara would be a better choice as captain. I think, you know, midfielders are a better choice as captain anyway in the long run, because of the position in the park they are. You know, they're like in the linchpin to everything. I mean, obviously Danny Murphy was a great captain. Scott Parker obviously would be captain if he was playing. So I'm not against it, but I think it would, especially with Scott Parker almost back, I think it would just cause too many ripples to change it at this time, to only to change it again next week maybe.
No, it's a good point. It's a good point, because again, I see where Tyler's going on this, and would Jamie O'Hara make a good captain? I think he would, but I think it might cause too many problems if he did that, like you said. So I tend to agree with you, David. I don't see them doing that, because I think McCormack would go nuts, and we need him on his game. So let him be the captain, and hopefully he'll get out of his funk in this match against Huddersfield Town. All right, David, let's move on. Who are the key players for you for Fulham in this match?
I think we need to see LVC step up a bit to the plate, because I think he's been fairly quiet this season. We most certainly need McCormack to step up. I think Jamie O'Hara once again is a key player because he is the linchpin at the moment, and we need Tom Kearney to carry on what he's doing. It's really all the midfielders there and McCormack, I think, because if they do well, it will take pressure off the defence. If they're going to sit back behind the ball, we need to be opening them up and forcing them to make decisions and things rather than them just being able to sit there and soak stuff up. The defence, I don't think we can do much with at the moment. It is what it is, our defence. We need, obviously, people like Hutchinson to have games like he did on Wednesday rather than games perhaps like he did on previous Saturday where he made, you know, an awful mistake, unfortunately. But it's really those midfielders, I think. We need to get that team driving forward and putting pressure on the opposition. So O'Hara, LVC, for me, he's been very quiet this season so far. Kearney and McCormack needs to start showing the form he showed last season.
Okay, very good there, David. And that's going to lead me to ask you, and I love asking this. I'm glad that you're back on the show and ask you this. You're talking about the midfield. So what do Fulham need to do to win this match?
I think that it's one of my old answers, I'm afraid, from my book of stock answers. It's keep a clean sheet, really. We keep a clean sheet and score one goal, we have a chance of winning. But we haven't scored more than one goal so far, and we haven't kept a clean sheet apart from obviously the cup game. So that was the only time that worked. So got to keep a clean sheet.
Okay, very good. Very good, David. All right, let's now move on to the starting 11 and what we're doing this year. I'm asking my co-host to predict what Kit's going to do, and then you can chime in and say, no, but I would do it this way. So David, you'll still have a chance to chime in and share what you would do, but I want you to try to predict what Kit's going to do. So give me Kit's starting 11.
Okay, Lonergan in goal, Richards, Hutchinson. This is a hard one. I think he's going to give Byrne a go. He should give Byrne a go. And at left back, if he's fit, Kavanagh would be a slightly better option. Centre of midfield, O'Hara and Kearney. LVC on the right and Kakanicic on the left. Pringle's been a bit disappointed in the last couple of games. McCormack just behind Dembele.
Okay. Let me ask you, let's go back here. And I'm glad that, you know, again, just, you know, I'm just curious your thoughts on this. What does, I mean, Kaká obviously can go wider than Pringle. Do you see more advantages playing him in this match, or is it just that you don't think Ben Pringle has been firing on all cylinders yet?
I think Pringle's strengths are more putting high balls and crosses in the box. That's less necessary with obviously Smith out of the team. Kaká probably the player. He can, when he puts his head down and runs at them, he can cause more problems. So perhaps, you know, defenders don't like having to back off from people running at them. So I think he would offer something slightly different on this occasion. And I think he just needs to give Pringle a bit of a kick in the backside to say, you know, your place isn't guaranteed. He'll be on the bench anyway as a change if things don't work. So I think just a little bit of a shake up there.
Okay, now let's talk about the midfield on the other side, because you had LVC on the right and you're predicting that you think Kit's going to put him on the right. And here's the thing. I do agree with putting Kearney in the middle, David, but are you wasting LVC on the right?
I mean, LVC kind of played that centre-right role quite a lot last year and he was pretty successful. Perhaps it's a slight waste, but with putting Kearney on the right, I don't know, we're almost going to a Brian Ruiz situation again, aren't we? Because, you know, Ruiz was put out on the right and we didn't see the full range of what he could do there. And it's only when Kearney comes more central that we start to see how dangerous he is. So I think out of the two options, so LVC central and Kearney right, or Kearney central and LVC right, I think the cumulative situation is that it's better with Kearney central and LVC right, you know, in terms of a more dangerous attack, because LVC can still tuck inside if he needs to. And hopefully that's what he can do if Richards is going to overlap him.
Okay. Very good, David. Very, very interesting take there. And up front, you're going with Dembele over Colley. And I'm curious why you're going with Dembele. Is it because he played fairly well in the last match, or do you think that his pace is more advantageous than, say, Colley's?
I think, yeah, his pace is, we need to start showing more pace up front. We need to start playing these balls through in the channels to run into. But also, we have another player here that we're in danger of losing. And I think, you know, we really need to try and keep him sweet. And if the more time he gets,
good point,
the better chance he is of signing. I mean, Corley's signed up for the next 50 years. So we haven't really got to worry about Corley at the moment. You know, he's on a long contract.
Right.
You know, some people obviously question that, but we don't have to worry about that in the meantime. I think as a threat on goal and as a threat to defenders, Dembele, when he does what he's good at, is the more dangerous and threatening player.
Okay, very good. And I tend to agree with you, but I'm playing devil's advocate, just throwing out why you would pick him over Woodrow. You make a strong argument there, my friend. All right, let's wrap this up by going through predictions. And I'm going to start with the predictions from the Cottage Talk Facebook page. David, there are a few of them. Tom and Araman has 3-1. Really should be a game where we take all 3 points. Kevin Gower has 2-1 to Fulham. We will, of course, concede, but I'm hoping we can outscore them 2-1. Okay, not a problem there. Samuel Beattie has first league win, hopefully a clean sheet, 2-0 to Fulham. Dean Rozier, comfortable 3-0 win. Really fancy us tomorrow, and our class should come through. And finally, Ben Hardwick, you're going to like this, David. A draw, and Kit will be out before Christmas. Okay, those are the predictions from some of the Fulham supporters. All right, David, give me your prediction for tomorrow.
Well, unless Fulham send a helicopter down to get me and take me there, the last two league games I've missed, we've lost 2-1 at home. So I'm afraid I have to go with history and say we're going to lose 2-1. Unfortunately, unless there is an overnight miracle and unless I find a way to get to the cottage tomorrow, as I say, we've lost the last 2-1. So if you're listening, anyone at Fulham, send me a helicopter or something up here, or
send David a helicopter now.
Some way to get me there so I can get through the game and get home again, and maybe we have a chance. And if that happens, I can change the prediction. But unfortunately, the last two I've missed, I'm afraid we've lost 2-1. So just based on historical data, I have to say that. And I hope that's not the case. But if that happens, okay, I think it might make a few things a bit more clearer come next week.
Okay. So you're going for 2-1 to Huddersfield Town. David, I'm feeling good about this match.
I hope you're right.
Okay, I am. I'm feeling really good about this match. I think, you know, again, they've been close, David. They've been very close. What?
Don't say it, though. Just do not say what you usually say. Just do
not
say
it. Wait a minute. I am not going to say what I normally say. Okay, just so you know.
That will put a hex on things, yeah?
Okay, I'm not. But I am predicting 3-0 to Fulham. But here's the rub. Ross McCormack will not be getting a hat trick. Moussa Dembele will be getting the hat trick.
Oh, my God.
How do you like that?
I think you were more sane when you predicted Ross McCormack to get a hat trick, actually.
Well, sanity, you know, again, who knows if I'm sane? I agree with you there, David. I'm sanity might not be my strength right now. Okay. All right. Let's wrap up the show, my friend.
Tell me about it.
Listen, I want to thank you so much for doing this with me tonight. I hope you enjoyed it.
Well, my sanity is completely out the window as well, but at least it's been a welcome distraction. It's been great talking to you, and I hope the sound quality is good enough that everyone will hear us when we go out on live broadcast, and I hope everyone enjoys the show, and it's nice to be back for a change.
It is nice, David. I've really missed you, and it was really just a pure joy doing this with you tonight. Thank you. All right. Let's wrap this up. For David Holly, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk. Cheers, David. Have a good night.
You too, Russ. Cheers. Bye-bye, everyone.
Cheers. Boys and girls.